Answers begins right now.
This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. What does a healthy church look like? In Ephesians 4, Paul reveals God's design for a unified, mature church where every believer is equipped to serve and grow. How does a fellowship of believers attain this? Today on this episode of Evidence and Answers, Pat shares part one of a message entitled, Equipped to Serve, God's Design for the Church. Now let's get right into the word for today. Here's Pat.
Good morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. That'll be our passage for today. Ephesians 4, 11 says, "And he gave apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Well, what does a healthy church look like? I'm not asking what does a perfect church look like. There isn't any, but what's a healthy church look like? Well, Paul kind of gives us the description here. It's a church that's unified biblically and theologically. They're of one mind, all right? They're grounded in solid biblical teaching. The believers are mature in Christ, and everyone knows their calling from God and their part of building up one another in Christ. Okay, that's how Paul describes a healthy church. Don't we all want to be a part of something like that? That's great, huh? It's a healthy church is like a healthy company. You got great leadership with good vision. Everyone knows their part in the company. They're trained, they're equipped, and there's a vibrancy there. They love one another. They're supporting one another. The leadership understands servant leadership. A great kind of company. People can't stay away from that kind of company. They're all flocking to be a part of that company, right? You know, the New England Patriots, you know, when Tom Brady and all those guys were there, how come they kept winning? Because they could get all the best players. Everybody wanted to play for the Patriots. Why? Tremendous culture there. Everybody knew their part. People, the leadership was mature in Christ. The superstars, like Tom Brady, took a pay cut so that we could pay other guys so they could be a part of the team. People wanted to be a part of that. And when you got a healthy church, you know, that's reflecting the character of Christ, that's building up one another in love and to maturity in Christ, it's an irresistible church. People want to be a part of it. Well, how do we get there? How do we get it? Just don't happen overnight. Don't happen with us coming once a week to worship. How in the world do we get there? Well, Paul lays it out for us here in the book of Ephesians. Here is God's blueprint and God's design for the church. Now, first thing that God does is that he gives or he provides gifted leaders, gifted people to the church. All right, this is God's provision for the church. Verse 11, and he gave apostles, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Okay, these are leadership gifts. These are gifted people that God gives to the church. All right, now the first one here he lists is apostles. Now there are two uses of this in the New Testament. All right, you have apostles in a general sense means sent one. But in a second sense, and this is how Paul is using it in this passage, and I'll explain why in a minute. But second is used of the apostles of Christ, all right? And their qualifications are laid out for us in the New Testament. Okay? Acts chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 9, they have had to have been with the disciples from John the Baptist and were eyewitnesses of the resurrection, all right? They are directly commissioned by Jesus Christ during his time here upon the earth. They performed miracles, Hebrews chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 12. God confirms his message and messengers with acts of God or miracles. So they did miracles to confirm their apostolic authority. They received inspired divine revelation from God, and their teachings are recorded, given to us here in the New Testament. Their ministry and their inspired teachings laid the foundation of the church. Okay, that's why we're talking about this group here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. It says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Okay, now if you look at that verse there, it says built upon, past tense, aorist consumative, Pat, it's done. It doesn't say building upon the foundation, laying a new foundation. It's done. The work of the apostles is done. Through their ministry and through their teaching and the divinely inspired revelation they received from God, given to us in the New Testament, they laid the foundation of the church. It's laid. You don't have to keep laying it again. All right? It's done. We're building upon their foundation. Jude 3 says, contend for the faith once and for all given to the church. He's not saying divine revelation keeps coming, folks. It's done. The revelation of God has been given. The foundation has been laid. So because their role and qualifications are unique, when they died, there are no legitimate successors, okay? That office is completed. Their work is done. They laid the foundation of the church. It's not saying it's still being laid by guys who have this kind of qualifications, okay? It's done. Now, a dangerous teaching that proliferates, all right? I mean, it is huge, and it's splitting churches all over the place. You guys probably ran into it. There are guys who claim to be modern-day apostles and prophets who are receiving divine revelation from God, who are claiming authority over churches. And if you don't submit to their authority, you're going to miss out on God's blessings for the last day. These guys claim the kind of authority that Christ's apostles claim. This movement, it's huge. It's huge. It's called the New Apostolic Reformation. It's absolutely huge. All right? They claim the office of apostle has been restored in our day with them, and they have the authority. They're performing signs, wonders, and miracles, gold dust falling from the sky, people getting gold teeth when they preach, you know, all that kind of things, gold filling, people being raised from the dead all over the place, you know, all these kinds of things, claiming divine revelation from God. Played golf with a few of them. Now, however, if you look at the New Testament, they failed the test of apostleship. You know, on the golf course, I was playing with them, and they said, who's your apostle? Who's your apostle? And I said, well, I don't know. We don't got anyone 2,000 years old. And they're like, oh, you don't have a real ministry. You don't have a real ministry. And I said, well, look at the qualifications. Acts chapter 1, they had to have been with the disciples from John the Baptist to the resurrection. All right? You know, I had one apostle give me his books. You know, he said, I have divine revelation from God. Put me on your radio show. Here are my books. 9 books he wrote in 1 year, 300 pages each. I said, wow, oh, wow. I looked at them. They're all AI books. What's an apostle receiving divine revelation from God need AI for? Anyway, whatever. Okay, so I can go on all day. But there are guys out there claiming to be apostles with this kind of authority. All right, you've got to understand that office is done. They laid, Ephesians 2:20, the foundation of the church has been laid. That's what the apostles and the prophets did. Their job is over. All right, the next one, he says, the prophets. There's also two nuances to this word. Forthtelling, okay, proclaiming God's word, a specific word for his people at a specific time, and forthtelling, okay, being able to predict and prophesy future events. Now, Deuteronomy 18 states, if you got a true prophet of God, not only is he confirmed by miracles, he can predict the future with 100% accuracy. 100% accuracy, because God is eternal. He sees the future perfectly, and therefore, when his prophets speak, what they say comes to pass. They bat 1,000, okay? They don't make mistakes, because God doesn't make mistakes. And there are people, part of the New Apostolic Reformation and others, who claim to be prophets, who claim to have authority over churches, all right, who are receiving divine revelation from God. I've got a bunch of them on video because their batting record is pretty bad. All right, I got a bunch of them in 2016 saying, you know, the spirit of Jezebel will be expelled, Trump will win by a landslide, and the Republicans will take over the House, the Senate, everything, right? What happened? It was a landslide for the Democrats. And then when COVID came, they prophesied that COVID would be over in 2 weeks in 2020, okay? You can go on YouTube and see these guys, all right? They're all wrong. And they said, well, they came out and apologized and said, we're still prophets of God, you know, because we apologized. Oh, Deuteronomy 18 says, if the word of the prophet does not come to pass, you shall not be afraid of him. Okay? He is not a prophet. Deuteronomy 18 doesn't say, but if he apologizes, he's still a prophet. No, they bat 1,000, all right? And according to Ephesians 2:20, they're part of the group that laid the foundation of the church. Old and New Testament prophets and apostles are the ones who laid the foundation of the church, and their office is done. Ministry is taken over by the next three, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Evangelists. What is an evangelist? Well, oh, by the way, on this whole thing, since there's so much confusion on this topic, I highly recommend this book here. It's called Counterfeit Kingdom, okay, in understanding apostles and prophets and modern day people in this movement who are making this kind of claim. Jesus said, right, there'll be false teachers, false prophets who arise in the last day. And we're seeing a proliferation of it. It's tremendously confusing to the church. When prophets come in, you know, we had one, a guy, his wife died, and the prophet came in and said, God is going to raise her from the dead in 3 days. And they prayed, and everybody was exuberant and jumping for joy, and she wasn't raised from the dead. What a tremendous heartache it was. Oh, the disappointment. A lot of people walked away from the faith saying, oh, what is this? What is this? You know, it was all over the news. I think in 2019, mother and father lost their little girl, and the prophets prophesied, God's going to raise her from the dead. 5 days, they had her in the morgue. She never rose from the dead. I see it over and over and over again. Oh, when you build people up with your false promises and false prophecies and false divine revelations, and it doesn't come to pass, as Peter writes in 2 Peter, right? It blasphemes the name of God. Outside world is looking at us, saying, look at these crazy people, you know, making all these promises and predictions. What's wrong with these folks? Okay? So a good book to understand all this is one we have up here. It's called Counterfeit Kingdom. Okay, Counterfeit Kingdom by Holly Pivick and Douglas Guyvett. If you want to listen to my interview with Doug Guyvett on Evidence and Answers, you can do so. All right, but I recommend everyone read this book. It's a great threat to the churches. It's throwing them in confusion and all kinds of division. Now, the next group of people are the evangelists. All right, the evangelists. Why is everyone laughing? Why is he laughing? We got it. That's the evangelist, Honolulu Christian there. All right, there he is in action, bringing the gospel to the Hawaii Kai care home. Him and Randy Tom are out there once a month on Sundays. You ought to go join them. Incredible ministry there. They're at the Hawaii Kai care home there, okay? But these are men gifted, men and women gifted, to share the gospel to those who don't know Christ, all right? These men and women, they have a passion for seeing lost people come to faith in Christ, all right? We all should share the gospel. Just these guys and the gals are really good at it. They're just gifted. They're just passionate about it. And their job is not to do it all by themselves. They're gifted in it so they can equip us to do it. There are several in here. I know they have the gift of evangelism. Okay, that's why Carl is on the golf course all the time, because he says he's out there sharing the gospel. I don't know about that, but no, just kidding. Just kidding. No, he is, okay? That's why I'm on a golf course. No, that's what evangelists do. They're gifted. They've got a passion for sharing the gospel with lost people, all right? Then we have the pastors, okay? The pastors here. Or another New Testament word is elder or overseer, okay? Bishop, right? It's used in the New Testament. Those three words are synonyms. It means shepherds, okay? These are mature disciples of Christ, men of integrity, of spiritual maturity, of Christ-like character. Their qualities are described in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But these are the men and women that shepherd the flock of God. And we've got several here in our church. And then we have the teachers, okay? The teachers. These are gifted individuals who are gifted in studying, researching, and teaching the Word of God. Okay, now in your Bibles, it says pastor, teacher. All right, now some would say that's the same person, pastor, teacher. Okay, and that's fine interpretation. I say that they're two different gifts. All right, and what's the difference? Well, there's a slight difference here. A pastor has to be able, elder has to be able to teach. But a teacher is not necessarily a gifted pastor, okay? So there's a slight difference there. But those are gifted people that God gives to the church, okay? That's his provision to the church. Now, your application is this, all right? Here's some great books that I recommend you read if you want to understand not only the gifted people, but this, all the spiritual gifts that God gives. All right, Counterfeit Kingdom, I mean, that's a great book. It's an exciting book. Man, the way it's written, it's very well written. Anyway, that's a great one. A lot of times in understanding the truth, you have to understand false teaching. All right, because then you explain false teaching and present the truth. All right, that's the best way I learned. Okay, The Holy Spirit by John Walver talks about the works of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and Your Divine Design by Chip Ingram, okay? Very good, solid Bible teacher teaching you. Every believer has a spiritual gift, okay? And he teaches you how to discover your divine design. But every Christian needs to know what their spiritual gifting is to identify it. You all have one. You all have one, all right? And to use it. Build God's church, God's people, and advance his kingdom here in this world. The Great Commission, we all play a part on it. Not just the pastor. We all have a part in it. You just have to know what your part is. Okay? It's like an orchestra. You ever saw a one-man orchestra? The conductor can play every instrument, but probably wouldn't be very good, huh? Got to have everyone knowing their part, equipped, trained, ready to go, doing their thing. And you got incredible music. So these are gifted people that God gives to the church. For what purpose? Well, he tells you in the next verse, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. These gifted people are given to the church for what purpose? So they do all the work? No. They're given to equip the saints, equip you, so that you can come alongside and serve and experience the joy of impacting lives for Christ and playing a wonderful part, making an eternal difference in the kingdom of God. That's why these gifted people are given to the church. Not so they come up here and they put on a show every Sunday. The main job of a pastor, teacher, evangelist is to equip God's people for the ministry. You guys are looking for a pastor. So what you're looking for? You're looking for an equipper, okay? That's what you're looking for. One of the biggest errors of thinking in the church is that the pastor, the professional clergy, okay, they do the work of the ministry, and we're called to stand aside and watch the show. And granted, a lot of pastors I run into love that. They love doing everything. I've worked with those pastors. It's ugly, man. They want to do everything from the bulletin to the worship, to the teaching of all the small groups. I mean, they're out every night teaching every single small group. And I mean, they want to do everything. If there's someone sick in the hospital, it's me. Call me, man. Someone died, call me. All right? I mean, they want everything around them. Bad news. Okay, I've worked for those guys. Okay? No good. The job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to feed his people the word of God. But it doesn't stop there. His job is to equip God's people so they can engage in ministry. All right, now it says, pastors, teachers, evangelists, they're called to equip God's people for ministry, equip the saints for ministry. The word equip there has the idea of making someone adequate or sufficient for something or some particular purpose. Okay? Equipping is different from growth. Growth level, come and learn the book of Matthew from me. Equipping is I'm giving you the knowledge and the skills to take part in the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. All right? So equipping is come alongside. Let me give you the skills of how to teach the book of Matthew. Let me show you how to do expository teaching, expository preaching, word studies, okay? How to put a message together and come teach the book with me, all right? And eventually, it's going to get to the point where I say, all right, you got it. I'm off to teach the next group, okay? And we expand God's kingdom. But that's why pastors, evangelists, teachers exist, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, the term for built up pictures a construction project, okay? Erecting of a building or a structure. The church is built up when people come to know Christ. They are nurtured to maturity in the faith, but then it doesn't stop there. They are equipped with the knowledge and the skills to take part in the ministry and to go out there and engage the culture and world for Christ and make an impact in the world for Christ, to be a part of the Great Commission of making disciples to all the world. The Great Commission doesn't only apply to pastors. It's everyone. So the job of the leader is to equip the saints for ministry so that the body of Christ can be built up. Pastor can't do everything. We're to share in the building up of the body of Christ and the advancing of God's kingdom. One man can't do it all. All right, if we say, hey, I see a lot of homeless here. We need homeless ministry. Pastor Ted. Oh, hey, we don't have an Awanas program. Pastor Ted, go on. Hey, you know what? We need a couple Bible studies here for young couples. Pastor Ted, all right, go. Hey, we need, you know, we got people in the hospital. We need hospital visits. Pastor Ted, go. Hey, we got people in elder care home. Pastor Ted, go. Hey, we need apologetics, man. There's cult groups running around. Pastor Ted, you're going to have a burned out pastor. Oh, you're going to have a pastor doing 20 things very poorly. I mean, many of you need to discover your gifting and calling and be a part of that ministry. I mean, if someone's in the hospital, you probably don't want to call me. I do it. I mean, I'm in the hospitals all the time, but I'm not very good at it. Mr. Rodriguez, he's good at it. He's there at the Arcadia Care Home over there every week doing that stuff. He loves it. It's his passion. All right? He does way better than me. Glad he's out there. I remember I was at a church and a group of homeless people there attending my Bible study. I went up to him afterwards and I said, hey, I was talking to him. I said, hey, they were talking to me about why they're poor and all this. And I said, oh, it's not God's fault you're poor. Go get a job. And they were like, well, we're going to get, I said, well, you got to, shower up and clean up. Well, I don't have a shower. I live in a car. And I said, hey, join 24-hour fitness, man. You get a workout, you get a free shower. Man, I'll pay for your first 3 months. And then one of the pastors pulled me aside and said, Pat, stay in apologetics. Stay in apologetics. And he's right. Okay, I'm not very good at that. They've got great people with a passion for that. I'm glad they're on it.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.